This is On the Ground IPSY on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. I'm Patrick Campion, and this is a place each week where we really focus on that word community. We are so proud to be a part of the Ypsilanti community. We've been on the campus of Eastern Michigan University since 1965, and one of our strong focuses has always been this community that surrounds our university. And we've been watching it evolve for 54 years now. And one of the things we wish we always could be doing more of is telling the great stories of the people that live in the city, in the township of Ypsilanti, because, man, there are just so many really good stories here. We can't really walk down the block without finding somebody that's looking around and seeing what their neighbors need and trying to find a way to fill that need. So we're so proud to partner with Concentrate Media as the media partner on this project of On the Ground IPSY, and happy to have Sarah Rigg this morning here with us.
Good morning.
Morning, Sarah. And what were you looking at this week for On the Ground IPSY?
Well, why don't I tell you a little bit about how the sausage is made at Concentrate Media. We have we have four editorial advisories every year, and sometimes they're sort of open-ended, but they often have a theme. We had a arts and culture themed advisory meeting a few weeks ago, and Katie Van Dusen from the Ann Arbor Area Community Foundation came in and gave us lots of great information about a grant program that they have called In Our Neighborhood, and it's grants to small grassroots arts and culture projects in Washtenaw County. And one of the ones she talked about was Untold Stories of Love and Liberation. Sorry, I'm stumbling here. And it's a series of poetry workshops and readings that will hopefully culminate in an anthology of poetry by women of color from Washtenaw County.
That's a really interesting look at how to talk about what's going on in our neighborhoods, because we hear all the time people want more arts and culture, more arts and humanities coverage, certainly, but I don't think we think about these little projects, like micro projects. And I know the Community Foundation is good at these micro grants,
right?
And they always have a goal, it seems like, of building something. So it sounds like we're building the stories of neighborhoods together into something that will come out into a grand exposition. Keep us up to date on this as we're moving along, but it sounds like you're just kind of getting your feet wet now with the beginnings of this.
The beginnings of
this project, yeah. So the micro grants and the neighborhood storytelling.
Right, yeah. I don't know if we're going to be reporting on every single one that Katie brought to us, but there are certainly a couple that she mentioned that are Ypsy-centric. Not all of them were. A few of them were more Ann Arbor-centric. But yeah, definitely those are all on our radar.
Okay, so ConcentrateMedia.com, ConcentrateA2 on Twitter, and then Concentrate Media everywhere else.
That's right.
And you can find all the great work that Sarah and her the rest of the cohort over there at Concentrate Media do in our community. And if you want to find all the great on-the-ground Ypsy content, of course, you can find it at WEMU.org. So tell me who you brought with you this morning and why are they here? We're going to grill them.
Julie Quiroz and Maria Ibarra Freire. I hope I said that right.
All right.
Who are two of the women who are part of the Core Five who are doing this Untold Stories of Love and Liberation project.
Okay. So Untold Stories of Love and Liberation. Who are we going to talk to first, Maria or Julie? Julie's smiling real big right now, so we're going to go to her first. We're going to let you think for a moment about what was this project? How did you become a part of it?
Well, it actually grew just from a bunch of women who are really active in the community. And we discovered, actually, that we all are really moved by poetry, and we actually write our own poetry.
Oh, cool.
And then we find it as a way to, like, to really ground ourselves, to really kind of think about the world in really creative ways.
So when you say really community, just to clarify, what does that word mean to you? Are you talking about a neighborhood? Are you talking about, a background? Are you talking about where people are from? Or what does that word mean to you when you use that?
Yeah. In this case, it was women of color,
okay,
a multiracial group. We have Latina, Black, Muslim. And all of us, I think, worked on how we change the world and make it better. And we found that poetry was a way for us to be our most creative selves and our most grounded selves and to really connect with each other.
So it sounds like poetry might have been a part of your life for a while.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you get inspired to write?
Yeah. Well, I think for most women, and especially for women of color, I think poetry and creativity, creative writing in general, is a way to heal. And to make sense of things that are painful in the world, and to feel like you can connect and process with things. When things are difficult and you're trying to sort through it, and the world kind of tells you think about it in this way. Poetry allows you to kind of listen to your intuition and connect with other people who might think a little differently. So it kind of tells you, like, oh, you're not crazy, you know?
Well, and it sounds like, too, you're gathering with others now, and you're using this as a resource to share together. So have you in the past, you know, taken what you've written and exposed it to the world somehow, or is this more of a private thing that's now becoming a public, more public thing?
I think for me, and again for our group, our orientation has always been like poetry is a way to connect with people and to shape the world. So I think a lot of times people think of like, oh, poetry is like some academic thing you go off and do by yourself. And we always shared. We had a thing, and this actually was the beginning of Untold Stories of Liberation and Love. We started having dinners together and sharing poetry, but we also did this thing on Facebook where we said, for 1 week, we're each going to post one thing. And it was like it was Maria's turn or my turn or someone else's turn. And we would just put out poems out into the world. So the idea is like to get people talking, to get people thinking creatively, because right now we need a lot of creativity in the world in order to come up with solutions.
So Maria, she mentioned that, you know, this is kind of like a little bit of it is like a roundabout where people are given a topic or you know, something to share. How did you get involved in this? What did you share?
Thanks. Really happy to be here. So I got involved because I know Julie, and it sort of became, it was a very natural process. I don't think we ever sat down and, you know, put a timeline of exactly where, what is it they were doing. It just sort of became a gathering of women of color, and we started writing and sharing poetry, and then Julie approached us with this amazing grant opportunity, and then from there it became something more formal. So it's been a very grassroots effort, but it's also been a very authentic effort that this is sort of like what we wished onto the world, and it kind of happened.
What inspired you to write in the first place? Was it seeing other women write, or was there something going on in your life that you just had to express somehow to get it out? Or, you know, what were your roots there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been writing for a really long time. I think the first poem I remember writing was when I was six. And to me, poetry actually became a way to connect to the world, but through my own internal process. I was a very shy, very introverted person, and the only way in which I connected with other people was reading poetry by myself. So it took me a really long time to feel like I had the courage to actually share the poetry that I wrote with other people, and that became a connection that I had. But for me, at least, it started as a very, very internal, very personal process that helped me learn about other people in a way that to me felt safe and comfortable.
And when you see people like, you know, like Julie, who are out there sharing this work, does it inspire you to find that courage to let your voice be heard?
Yes, definitely. So being with people like Julie, being with people from our group, so we have three other women who are in our group, and we share poetry, but we're also sharing our lives with each other and being connected with each other and supporting each other, which is, I think, ultimately what we're trying to build, is a community of women of color that can care and support for each other, which is very rare that we have such spaces.
Julie, what is it in our community, as you've experienced it, that inspires you to write? What is really driving feelings that are so great that you have to put pen to paper?
Yeah. Well, the project, we named it Untold Stories of Liberation and Love. And the reason is because we feel like there's so many great stories of women who find their power in ways that a lot of times aren't recognized by them or by the world. And that if we can collectively, like, actually name and feel that power, that can be the source of just a lot of great energy and ideas in the community.
Give me an example of what you mean by that. Maybe something from your own life, perhaps, that's inspired a bit of poetry. You know, is there an experience you've had, or, you know, something that's happened in your life that you wanted to share with others, or gave you some feeling of, you know, you can let it go by putting it out there in the world?
Yeah, so many, but one recent one that I put out, I think, was I was at the vigil, vigil that the Muslim Student Association put on at University of Michigan, and I was in the crowd when the police told us to run. And it was a really awful moment, and I woke up thinking a lot about the students who had put it on. And I felt like how much courage it took them to pull the vigil together, and then what it was like to have that experience. And so I wrote a poem for them, and honoring them and honoring the courage and the wisdom that they had brought to that moment. And it made me feel like I was able to kind of regain my power and my stance again, and do that in a way that honored people in our community who are taking risks to do such important work.
And in case, if you didn't know, what Julie's referring to was the vigil on March 16th, which happened after the shootings in Christchurch in New Zealand, in which the community in Ann Arbor came together, and a lot of people from all over our community came together to show support and solidarity for those of the Muslim faith, to show them that, you know, that this hate isn't tolerated, and that people do in this community find compassion. And there was that report of a possible shooting on campus, which turned out to be false, but in the moment, you had no idea. So I'm sure your first thoughts were going to that, hey, there was just this horrendous shooting, and maybe now it's happening here, and there was a moment of panic. But it sounds like there was a moment of solidarity for a moment, too, where you looked around and you see other people who are sharing in this experience for you. So that's a great example of, you know, coming together and having putting those thoughts and those emotions on paper is really important, because it's a memory, a permanent, lasting memory of that event. Maria, same question for you. You know, maybe even recently, you know, what's going on in your community, in your world, that is driving you to find solidarity in those kinds of emotions, but also driving you to want to share with the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really lucky, actually, because I live in Ypsilanti, but I do a lot of my work in Detroit.
Okay.
So I'm really blessed to have both communities and to feel like I am part of both communities. And actually, just on Friday, I was part of the World Water Day event that happened in Detroit. And we opened up the event by having a water ceremony that was led by Indigenous women who had walked all around Lake Michigan. And their goal was to walk around and to bless every lake in Michigan. And to have an event like that put on by women of color, who feel very connected to the earth, and who feel like they're responsible for taking care of each other, but also for taking care of our water, which is something that in many traditional spaces that are primarily white, spaces that are primarily male, we don't talk about what is our sacred responsibility to the earth, to the water, to each other. So what I would really love to create is a community similar to that here, where we have, where we don't even have to rack our brains for which women of color to invite, that we already have a list that is ready, a community that is ready to build that kind of support. And I feel like we have that in a small way here in Ypsilanti, but I would really love to create it to the momentum that it has in places like Detroit.
Well, and I think just with water, it's something that so many take for granted. And until you've lived like an experience like in Flint, where mm-hmm. the water coming out of your taps is fundamentally unsafe, or you've been in Detroit where your water's been shut off and you don't have access to this resource that is so necessary for life. You know, again, I don't think that's something that many people just really think very hard about. So it's like you're trying to raise awareness, but at the same time, not just of water, but of the fact that there are people who are attached to it and do take it very seriously and don't take it for granted and see it as the very important resource that it is. Is that kind of you're getting both things out at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and building support too. You're trying to attract new people to your message, to this important message, into the cause, so that you can get together and share together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think ultimately, you know, I really love our name, Stories of Liberation and Love. And to me, liberation can be right now. And we're trying to embody that in our work, in our practices, and in our workshops. And it's not something that is in the future or it's years away from now. Yes, we're definitely working towards that. But I think the way in which we care and love for each other, and the way in which we do this work, can also embody what liberation and love look like.
That word liberation, and even the love attached to it, how much are you doing to free people from the notions that our society brings them up with, that women are slotted into a particular role, or especially women of color are slotted into a very particular role or set of roles? How much are you just talking amongst yourselves to free your own minds from the constraints that were placed upon you just because of the culture you were brought up in?
Yeah. I think that's exactly right. I think the reason we're centering women of color is because there's such incredible leadership. And a lot of times women don't see it in themselves. You know, even the leadership that it takes to do a small thing, and then you recognize that, like some choice that you made in your life, And that if women can recognize those choices, even in the smallest level of choice, the way that they parent or the choices they made in their lives about their work, if they can actually look at those and know that, wow, I'm a leader. I can make choices. I have that kind of agency in the world. That's what we're trying to spark, and that spark will benefit the community overall.
And serve as an example, hopefully, for others, too. One last question, and that is, it feels to me like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but maybe in your community it might have felt that there was a certain march forward. And a few years ago, that march forward kind of hit a wall. And I think a lot of people felt a lot of emotional pain over the last 2 or 3 years, like all the progress that had been made may have been lost. And I think you're getting where I'm going with that, that publicly there was seemed to be a lot more acceptance of new roles, of new identities, of new ways of thinking about how people can exist in our world. And over the last couple of years, there's been a slide back. We've seen more hate in the news. We've seen more intolerance in the news. Is that something that is on the minds of the people that you're talking about, or do you just kind of feel like things aren't really that different? It's just maybe people are talking more now about the hate and intolerance that existed. It just maybe was in the shadows a little more until recently.
Yeah, I think a lot of truth is being revealed right now. So especially for women of color, the experiences aren't new. And a lot of truth is being revealed that other people didn't recognize before. So in a way, it's an opportunity for people to go like, oh, I never understood, how hard it was or what the real challenges were. And that's important. But I think more important is that women of color themselves are naming the issues and taking the leadership. So I think it's less about explaining it to other people and more about finding your own leadership so that you can shine.
Okay, and not accepting that this is just the way things are.
Yeah.
That it is okay to speak up, that it is okay to, and I think it sounds like you're giving each other a little strength in this matter too to help other people stand up and say, hey, I've got these issues, I've had these problems, I've been experiencing this my whole life, this is nothing new. So it's a great way to talk about it, that maybe more of this being in the news, unfortunately, is a good launching pad for greater levels of conversation about what we collectively as a people in our community have been experiencing for quite a long time. How do we get involved? I mean, sorry, Sarah, did you?
Oh, I was just going to say that I thought one of the interesting things about this project was the intersection between community activism and the arts, because each one of these women is not only a poet and a writer, but also somebody who does organizing work in the community.
Okay, great. And then so do you see this as an entree to also expose people to the causes that are important to you as an individual? You mentioned, connection to our natural resources, mm-hmm. to our land, to our earth that gives us life and sustenance, obviously is an important cause to you, Maria. But do you see that you're raising people's awareness that these are just issues we should all be concerned about?
Mm-hmm. I think we are in a way raising them up, but I also feel like the women that are in our group and the women they're inviting are aware of these issues. They might necessarily be working on them in the same capacity that we are, and really privileged to be able to have activism be my full-time job. But I know that's not the reality for many women. But I also feel like the women and many people of color, these issues they're not new. They understand them. They live them. It doesn't take an exposure for them to recognize what's happening. I think what we're trying to do is instead cultivate what does our power look like in the face of all these issues that we're seeing come up so explicitly, whereas before they were kind of under the table to maybe people who are not people who are white or people who are not used to seeing these things come up so bluntly. We are trying to gather our power and see how can we build a community that is supporting each other and is not going to cower and hide behind everything that's happening.
Yeah, and go ahead, Julie. Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really important here is that we have a lot of strength from our grandmothers and our grandmothers before that. So it's not like the situation is new.
Right.
So a big part of Untold Stories of Liberation and Love is looking back at what do we know from how our grandmothers handled things? Mm-hmm. What are the resources and the wisdom and actually the history, the legacy of creativity? Because there's a lot of creativity, and a poem that I did actually was looking at a shirt that my grandmother had made for my father when he was born. And I saw in that shirt such incredible wisdom and resources and skill. And I realized that I have a legacy of skill and a legacy of creativity from my grandmother that was much harder times than I'm in now. And so we want to also reach back and know that we have wisdom that we can bring forward from our mothers and grandmothers.
And you mentioned there, you know, she was much worse off than in a much worse situation than you are now. Do you see the progress, and do you celebrate that too? Do you celebrate that the path that you've gotten to today resulted from a lot of women struggling to get you to where you are over hundreds of years? I mean, your ancestors brought you to where you are today. Do you celebrate that grand arrival as well?
I guess I tend to think less about progress, because in some ways, progress is a little bit of a myth. Mm. We think of ourselves as moving forward. I guess I like to think more about reaching back to wisdom. So, I mean, we had, you know, my grandmother's culture and other peoples lived for thousands of years in really good relationship with the earth, and we're kind of not doing so well on that. Mm. So for me, I feel like we've lost wisdom. This is about regaining wisdom, and I feel like reaching back to that wisdom allows us to kind of see out of the box, because right now we have this idea that somehow everything's progress and moving in this linear
right.
way. And what if we actually looked at it differently?
Well, and that's a beautiful way of looking at it. You know, what have we lost in the transition to looking at more technology, or looking at, you know, having not great relationships with our neighbors, or separating ourselves, and fundamentally many parts of our society has changed. And I love that you're looking at it from a perspective of what have we lost in addition to what have we gained. So that's wonderful. I know there are people listening right now that are thinking they really want to be involved with this. If people want to find you, if people want to get involved with this, how do they discover you?
Well, we're working through networks
okay.
of women of color, but there is an email that if you're interested in being part of the workshops, we have 3 workshops so far mm-hmm. that we're doing, and an anthology. And again, we're doing this in a pretty organic way. So,
sure.
But we have an email that is liberationstories@gmail.com.
Okay.
And if you're interested, you can sign up for a workshop. Our first workshop is on mothering. The second one's going to be on roots and migration, and the third one's going to be on survival and vision. And we're also going to be inviting women to do readings and be part of an anthology.
Okay, and you mentioned the anthology. So these works, some of them will be displayed for public, so people will be able to experience mm-hmm. this themselves, the works that you've put together as a group. When's the plan? What is the plan for that?
That would be in the fall, more
okay.
like October and November. So the workshops will go through the end of the summer, and then we're figuring out what that's going to look like. But yeah, we want the incredible leadership of women of color that exists to just be stronger and more celebrated.
And is the whole part of this too that they'll take this and be inspired to go to their own communities and start something similar, and then maybe feed down into other people?
That would be amazing.
Right.
Yeah, we would love for this to be recreated in other places, and would love to offer support to anybody who's thinking of doing something like this. I think the more spaces like this we could have, the more human we can be.
This has just occurred to me too, and I wanted to ask this. Do you feel like the simple act of sharing, of having a voice and having it be heard, do you feel like that empowers the women that you yourselves or the women you're working with?
Yeah, I think these stories have been told for ages. They just haven't been heard. So we're trying to create a space for women to hear those stories and to amplify them.
Well, good. That's a beautiful way to put that. Thank you, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie, thank you so much for being here today. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Sarah, thanks for bringing this story to us this week. And maybe we'll look forward to seeing more of this in the fall when the anthology comes out.
I guess we'll find out. I only get 2 slots for Ypsilanti Stories every week, so it's I'll try to spread the love around, but I would love to check back in with them and see how things are going.
All right, what do you have going on for us next week, Sarah?
So tomorrow I will be going to the Do Something conference at the Riverside Arts Center. It focuses on people who have like a regular Joe job, but they've always wanted to do something creative, and it's like, stop, you know, messing around, no more excuses, do something. So I think that should be really interesting. We're going to do a recap with photos.
Awesome. Well, we'll talk to you then next week about people doing something here on the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.